Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Tuesday food, wine, and travel show with the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association. We love every Tuesday we get to talk with representatives from destinations across the country and around the world. And every second Friday, we chat with travel writers that are also members of what we say is IFTWA, the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. I encourage you to go to their website. It's ifwtwa.org. If you're in the world of travel writing, if you're a destination, if you're an attraction, or anybody in the world of travel, food, and wine should go check this out. Also very excited today because we get to welcome back Sherry Wyatt from Whidbey and Camano Islands in Washington State. Nancy and I have been in the Pacific Northwest since the end of February, and we got to have one day that we just went, the sun was out and it was beautiful. And we went from Anacortes over Deception Pass and down through Whidbey Island and Coopville, and went to as many parks as we could just to kind of get that feel for, this amazing destination that we've been chatting about on radio shows for quite a few years now. So I encourage you to go to their website. It's WhidbeyCaminoIslands.com. So welcome, Sherry. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, welcome to, I'm so glad you were here. And now you have a little more sense of what we're all about.
It's incredibly beautiful. The beauty. Nancy and I were just like, can we just move here? Yeah. You know, it is absolutely beautiful. And one thing we noticed was that it seems, we were on the show last time talking about transformational travel, and we're going to talk about then regenerative travel experiences. And I know today we're definitely going to focus on outdoors and your amazing parks, but it seemed that this region and parts of Washington State too, seems to have a big push on having a lighter footprint for travelers, visitors, mm-hmm. whether you're local in the park. It isn't like, here, bring your trash to the park. You are going to, take everything back with you. And it seems to be a state where, the recycling in Washington State can't be beat. Mm-hmm. I told Nancy, I'm going to write a book about trash across the country because some places burn it. Still burn it in their backyard. So, but Washington State, incredible what you guys are doing in regards to keeping a lighter footprint.
Yeah, and I think that when you let people know how to engage with you, they do engage that way. So people know, just they don't see any trash for one thing on the trails. So you just kind of figure it out. You pack it in, you pack it out, just like everyone else does. And I think that people want to keep this place the way it is when they visit every time they want to return and see it the same way. And so,
And you've got wildlife. The bald eagles.
Yes.
You've got, the wildlife, it just seems like everybody's kind of connected. It's like everyone's speaking the same language. And I know you're going further that way, but your state park system, you get a discovery pass. Now, we lived in Washington State, I would just buy that for the year, but you can buy one and go to as many parks, state parks that day, right?
Funny because it's just $10 a day, but if you spend $30, you have the pass for the whole year and you can take it to any state
done
park.
That.
and actually when we renew our tabs on our cars, we have an opportunity to purchase it then and have it come to us in the mail. So it's made it quite easy.
Wow. That's cool. Wow.
But you see like that. Stars.
I did the bridge. I did drive over that bridge.
That's
we didn't go on a ferry yet though. So now we're going to have to come back. Just go
there's,
on a ferry.
But there's always a reason to come back.
Lots of reasons.
There's tons of reasons. But we did go over Deception past that bridge and I thought I was going to cry, but I did I did it twice and I even got out and photographed. I'm like, I've got wobbly legs, but I did it. But we went down into that park and there's so many parts of that park of Deception Pass.
Oh, it's so many 4,500 acres itself. Wow. It's a big park and it's the most visited in the state. So even with that, you may not run into anyone.
But that's
a lot of
cool
places to wander.
And it's just so neat because you've got the trees, the forest and the coast together. And we were at some park. It was part of it, it was Deception Pass Park. And I still have it as my Facebook banner thing. It was tripping me out because they were saying there was a gray whale and we missed the gray whale. And I'm like, dude, but there was a whale there. And of course, seagulls and all kinds of waterfowl that some we've never seen. Like, this is all new species for us. But you had snow-capped mountains and an ocean and all this crazy cool driftwood. And who gets to see that? The snow-capped mountains and the ocean. That's when you've lived in Southern California and different, places, it's with a typical warm beach. This was a whole new experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't have to choose between whether you want to see ocean or mountains. We get both. And then there's so many forests. I live in a forest myself. So we have deer and rabbits and all kinds of wildlife all around.
I like that.
Yeah. We like your seagulls because they walk down the streets.
I know. And they're big. They're like, this is my road. Get off.
Yeah. This is mine. They're awesome. It was beautiful. We went to John Sibley. Sidby. I'm going to get this wrong now. Whidbey. John Whidbey State Park. And we want to do a whole. Joseph Whidbey. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's why, because Glenn, our English historian, has been trying to do his genealogy and getting his, his connections. And he said he's got a very mysterious past from his heritage in England. So at one point we need to have like a historian come on from your area, because he found like the will, but then it was different.
They changed names somewhere along the line.
Something, maybe I said John instead of Joseph. I don't know.
there's a lot of history of the European settlers, but even before that, there's a lot to know about the people who were here before the European discoverers, the discovery of Captain Vancouver arrived and sort of claimed it and changed things. But before that, the indigenous people were really loved this. There's a natural prairie in Eby's Landing, so it was a wonderful place to harvest and pick berries and just so much of that land that's still the same, which is wonderful because there's the sense of conservation.
Even the history that was blowing me, blowing me away when it was at Deception Pass. There's a Native American woman as a sculptor, wood carving, and talking about her and. She was like almost like the guardian of the past. And you think about all this Native American heritage, and we went to Eby's Landing. That's what's in our background.
Right.
And, and the water is, it's harsh. It's dramatic. You know what I mean? And then at times so still and beautiful. And you just think about, living on the land there, like if it was windy and cold, like how did they handle that? Because you're seeing the snow-capped mountains and you're going, dude, that must have been cold for them. So you've got a lot of interpretive signs everywhere. It's really cool how history, nature, and then recreation are all together, because it is, how people settled the land, that has to be fascinating history too.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of blockhouses remaining. And, for over 400 historical structures throughout Eby's Landing still standing. So,
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And you still find arrowheads and, archaeological digs going on. So there's a lot here still to discover. And and a sense of preservation, seems to really be a theme on both islands. And
we went to, I think it was Oak Harbor well. And that's where we saw the windsurfers, wind jammers. I think we're in the right place.
So they're kite surfing out at Windjammer Park.
We went there, we were watching them, and then went around to where the little harbor area is, and there's this amazing trail that people were jogging and riding.
It's a great
really cool trail system. And then you go out, and so the whole mariner history is another thing that you could just go crazy over, because now you're thinking about, and there's all the statues of the women with the lantern, kind of out in these harbor areas, like, they're bring home my men, safely. But it's like, it just really hits home. Also World War II history. I mean, there's just so much this whole area of that, you know?
You know, so recently, just in the last couple of years, they've designated this area as part of a National Maritime Heritage designation. So
that's nice.
You know, it has a new purpose and a new coordination and collaboration of all of the maritime history. I think you're going to hear a lot more about it being told.
Wow.
But cool. To receive that classification was a big deal. And you had to earn it. It had to be real. It had to be authentic. So we definitely have a lot of history here.
Yeah, that's great.
With Horn Mountain and all the forts.
It's
wild. Like, just, I don't know, just after all our conversations, you and also the travel writers like Linda Kassam and Hillary Larson, and have been on the show talking about the area. And it's like, just to be there, it's like, holy cow, this is, you could be writing about it for days and just never finish, because there's so much history and the natural beauty. It just is incredible. So I really understand why you want to preserve it. And I also understand why people are going to want to keep coming back.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that balance. But you guys, let's talk about this new guide. You have a new app and a new trail guide. Are they out now for people, or?
So we are just in the process of proofing the guide. It will be available Memorial Day weekend. So it will be ready for the summer and for the season. And it's 24 trails that are off the beaten path. So you won't see Deception Pass or Eby's Landing in the guide. And you might wonder, well, those are the favorite trails. And that's the intention, was to direct people to other undiscovered places or lesser known places. So when you were in Oak Harbor, you probably didn't notice, but there's a Gary Oak Trail, and the Gary Oak Tree, that's G-A-R-R-Y. The Gary Oak Tree is a really amazing tree, and there's places to find them all throughout the town. And there's a park that's the only park in the state of Washington that's made up 100% of Gary Oak trees.
That's
how Oak Harbor got its name. And so we're trying to get people who live here to really understand and appreciate what there is in their own backyard. But also, this is a way to guide visitors to other trails, because what would happen during pandemic, people would pop into visitor centers and they would hear the same trails over and over. So it was actually from our visitor centers that this was generated, this need for 24 trails that, you know, we could just hand them a free little guide. And within the guide, we have a lot of information about leave no trace and recreate responsibly, you know, some stewardship messaging. And we also have a link to a tread map app, which is another new project. May I tell you about that as well?
Please do.
So just real quick on the trail guide, is that going to be available on your website too?
It is available. We've done something else with the trails on the website. We've created 2-minute trailer videos. So you kind of do a walk through the trail and hear a couple little interesting things, and it helps you kind of see what to expect without giving it all away. But within these trails, by the way, some of them are sculpture forests or the Earth Sanctuary, which has a number of sacred places throughout the trails. So, you know, we're telling a lot of the story, but the beauty of the internet is we can add more content there than we could put in a guide.
Right.
And more pictures. And
cool. That's awesome.
I like the video too, because it gives you, and I think it's something for people even who may not get a chance to visit, have some kind of experience, you know?
Exactly.
You know, I also think about people that are armchair travelers, maybe out of necessity.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you don't get to explore the world online, you know?
Exactly.
There's people who just who travel by Google Map, you know, and it's cool.
Hey,
you can go anywhere in the world, you know, so it's pretty cool. So
I've seen a lot of places I'll probably never see, but I've been able to experience them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, within the guide too, we talk about where there's ADA parking and accessibility and free transit. So, you know, we're trying to get people to travel maybe a little less without their cars, or at least know what to expect. And so it's been a big project. We're excited.
I'm excited too, because of the birding, and that's something I noticed. A lot of bird watchers were there. And and I saw some of the signs in the parks. I know it was John Whitby. I'll get it right. I got Sibley stuck in my head because we were talking about birds. I'm like thinking of Sibley bird guides. I don't know. I can't help it. But anyway, I saw that there's like a Washington State bird trail as well that is going through some of those parks that we went to.
Yeah, we're really proud to be a part and honored to be a part of that trail. And it makes sense because of the birding here, and the Audubon Society here is very active. And they're very dedicated, and they count different bird species. So we had some pelicans here mm-hmm. kind of surprisingly, in Crockett Lake. And, you know, that's made the news and they're tracking those, but also the pigeon guillemot is a funny little bird, the way it kind of crash lands in the water. And we have a lot of those. There's nesting here, and it's just, there's so much to learn about them that there's opportunities for people who want to know more when they come to visit, or people who live here. So,
and you've got swans. I've never seen so many swans in my life, like just fields of swans and Canadian geese. But then we found out half of what we thought were Canadian geese were not Canadian geese.
They might've been snow geese, maybe.
Yeah, we saw snow,
and there's
we saw snow geese.
Brant or Brett goose. The starts with a B, the other one. Brett.
Now it's Brett, your turn to flub up all the names.
It's a little, it's a bit smaller. Back. It's a smaller goose.
Brant's geese.
Beautiful. Brant's I'm not sure the name myself, but yeah, you know, the blue heron, of course, you know, is a common.
Oh, we saw lots of them. Lots of, oh my gosh, lots of heron, lots of hawks. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you've got the bald eagles, whoa. I mean, that's cool. You don't get to see that everywhere. I know.
I see a bald eagle every day.
Oh, wow.
Seriously? Seriously.
That's so,
yeah,
I'm
just about every day, wherever I go. And they have a very distinctive call that you can hear them, and they've been training their young. And so I've kept the dogs inside.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, young eagles may not, the juveniles may not be sure how big that dog really is.
Exactly. You never know. You know, they're looking down, like, you know, munchies, and, you know, they've got those talons too, you know. But we did see a lot of people on trails with their dogs and behaving, having them on leash.
Right.
You know, and it was interesting because what is cold to us, not if you're from your area, to you, it's like the sun is out. We're playing volleyball. The kids are running around, and I'm going, wow, it's you've cold. Got to embrace it. You've got, it's, there's a whole, and I think that's what's so cool about your area is people get out and really enjoy nature and the outdoors. And, you know, I think it's kind of like it's a healthy way. You've got a quality of life for sure.
For sure. And it's right there for the, you know, for the opportunity of just to not wait for it to be a sunny day, because, you know, later that same day that was raining may be the sunny day. The weather changes so rapidly.
No kidding. What
we
is that?
That
like
out.
All of a sudden you're like, oh, it's a rainy day. And then I turn around, I'm like, the sun is out. And it comes out.
It can be raining and the sun shining at the same time.
Yes.
It does. We've and seen one that. Side of a garden. One part of the garden's raining and the other part's like, no, hello.
Makes lots of rainbows.
And lots of flowers. You've got so many little wildflowers and I really loved it. And the driftwood blew my mind.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is,
you know, we're trying to make sure that it's accessible to people as well as preserve it. So there's like a real balance there and a holistic way of thinking about how, when you come into a place, how you want to be, but also how we want to receive people because they're coming into our home. And when if you treat people like they're coming into your home, I think they behave a little better.
And they should always bring a bottle of wine. They should always bring wine. You're supposed to bring wine.
That's right. But, you know, that whole sense of how you just, you behave differently when you feel like you're really welcome and people are keeping track of you. You're accountable. Maybe you travel with more intention.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be the first one to leave something on the ground when it's all clean and natural. You don't want to be the one to start that trend of being lacking.
But if you don't know, you know,
you don't know.
You don't know. So we're trying to encourage people to learn.
But but your area, you know, going off into your, you know, there's the whole Seattle and all that. And then you all of a sudden, you know, you get off of the interstate and the busyness, and it's like, boom, now you're in like charming, quaint communities and grasslands and
very
prairie
quickly.
Which you wouldn't expect prairie, but it's there and it's beautiful and, you know, gardens, and I mean, it's just idyllic. But the trash is a big deal. Like I do want to write a book about trash because there's certain areas, I'm not going to name them and carry on, but because some I know also it's part of being in a hurricane corridor. But
absolutely,
the trash situation in our country and in our parks is absolutely horrific. And what people bring into parks, like, you know, someone may celebrate, like, you know, a birthday party and leave balloons and leave little things around that the animals get. And so you'll see it in community parks as much pretty badly. But when we went into your parks, like we didn't see trash issues mm-hmm. like you do in other areas. And it was one of the first things that, you know, we both went, whoa. And the signage and that respect that is all, like, was already set up made you realize, wow, they are serious about the trash mm-hmm. situations here and keeping things pristine. And it was like, wow, that is so cool, you know. And it does hold everybody accountable when you first drive into a park or ride in or however you're getting in. There is just this whole, like, we don't behave that way in this house.
But there's a way mm-hmm. of asking people without
nicely, them. Exactly. And it was mm-hmm. But it made you really have this extra respect, because you're like, oh wow, they really, you're in an area that cares about its you know, beauty, well, and its history and quality.
It's just such more it's such a better way of visiting. When you go into a place that obviously people care about and it's kept pristine, it's just more serene. Mm. I think it's really disturbing sometimes to be in a beautiful landscape and then here's some trash a picnicker decided to just toss mm-hmm. on the ground. Your eye seems to go right to that. Mm. And it's disturbing.
It gives one of the visitors a bad name.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of, when you go
Nancy's
into a place,
trash police.
Yeah, no, because it does make a difference when you go into a place and it's totally natural and there's no trash. Your enjoyment factor is way higher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's important for all the visitors to make sure you don't ruin it.
I think we take for granted too how mm-hmm. easy it is to get rid of trash, because mm-hmm. we are even here experiencing perhaps a shortage of containers. And there are going to be some issues and challenges for how we dispose of things here and the recycling mm-hmm. and all that. You know, and I think it's going to be part of the supply chain issue around mm-hmm. the world. Mm-hmm. And trash, well, yeah, you can have a real bestseller there.
Well, you can always take it back from where you came from. You can take it home with you.
Composting.
You don't really have to dispose on site.
But your state is good about composting compared to like others, like, you know, you, just because, you know, how we pet sit as we travel, we're learning about what is the community actually doing. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before. You can't have responsible tourism without a responsible community, and the community being all part of that say,
right?
You know, that's connectivity. Mm-hmm. And when you're in your area, going out in the parks and everything there, I think that because there's some structure and foundation to how you want things to be taken care of, and the communities and on the same page, as a visitor you come in, there isn't that like, oh, we don't want people in our backyard attitude. It's everybody's just there on a united, we want to enjoy nature, we want to go on a hike, we want to do our physical mm-hmm. mental wellness by being outside and taking in the history. There's just this really nice balance of everybody kind of, I mean, obviously there's always going to be the, you know, the percentage of, you know, not, but I mean, as a whole, when you go in, it feels like everybody just has this common, respectful, happy, taken care of, you know, you don't know who's a visitor or a local, really.
That's right. That's the nice balance. And I think
that's it.
Those of us who live here, I did arrive as a visitor at one point 15 years ago mm-hmm. and chose to live here. And we love seeing it through the fresh eyes of a new visitor and sharing the stories of, oh, you really have to try this bakery, or you should check out the smoothie mm. place in the morning. And, you know, all these little hidden secrets that locals have, we love to share them with visitors. Mm. And so you'll find talkative locals when you're here, and you may have to. Islanders, we can be like super friendly or the opposite. It just depends.
Oh yeah, but that's is written, that culture, yeah. And that's mm-hmm. a whole other thing. But I also want to say the minimal amount of, like, there's your grocery boxy kind of stores. There are those things that you need, but you seem to have in all the communities this balance of the small business being at the forefront of the community, whether sure. it's the pizza place, the bagel place, you know, the grocery chains, you know, they're smaller, and yet there's just this, I don't know, it just is like, wow, okay, we actually are going to go to through a drive-through fast food that is from there. It's not, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. you have all the other charm. Things too, but it just doesn't even I don't know. They don't dominate where the small business is at the forefront, no matter what community you're going into.
Even in the fast food drive-through, right. You might have a really cheerful, friendly conversation. And we had a Wendy's clerk who made national news because she would say, "I love you" after the order was taken. And she said, "If people can hate for no reason, I can love."
Nice.
And it was cool. Funny because, you know, that this kind of attitude is that I am just grateful for this day. Mm. And yeah. I'm going to prepare your hamburger with love. Even hey, if it's a fast food restaurant.
I like that.
Yeah. No,
that's I don't want an angry burger.
No, I don't want an angry person serving me that either.
Yeah. And it's been tough. You know, the staffing shortage has been a challenge everywhere. Mm. And people feel an extra amount of stress. And they're so concerned if they get your order wrong. I mean, they're just almost in tears. And it's like, it's okay. Yeah. You know, we understand that this is a difficult time. There's a lot of new people working in new jobs too, that they hadn't had before. And
so, yeah, everybody, that's the other thing as travelers, we've got to be a little chilled out and realize it's not, it's still not
travel
the same.
With humility a little more and be a little more understanding.
And be a nice visitor.
What you have, you know, there's a, when someone visits your area, I think they're going to go. I think when we talk about regenerative and transformational, I don't think it stops at where people go. Like if they go to Whidbey Island and Kameno and all the communities, you know, they're going to go, wow, that was really this exceptional experience. And it was a clean living kind of situation where taking care of how you handle the trails, the trash, you know, that kind of stuff. When they go home or travel somewhere else, that's going to be there. So that to me is this transformational tourism thing where it's going to spread not just in the communities that you're visiting. It doesn't stop there. And that is where it becomes national and global and transformation. And when we look at climate change, and especially where you are on the coast, you know, all of that, that, you know, there it's important. And so I think we don't really have that much time to clean everything up, but so we need to start. And these are the kind of practices that can spread everywhere and pretty quickly, you know?
Yeah. And I, you know, you're right about the, before you even take the trip and during the trip and after the trip, there are things to think about and not just, not just show up, but maybe, maybe come travel with intention, as they say, and look ahead a little bit of when I go on this, what part of the community might I actually support or discover? And is there a trash cleanup at the beach that weekend that I'm there? Maybe I'll participate. You know,
yeah, that's cool.
Or I'll plant Gary Oak trees because they're doing a special park planting. And so we as destinations and experienced providers are trying to create and share more of the things happening in the volunteer side. We have over 400 volunteers, organizations.
In this, that's
county.
Cool.
Isn't that nice? There's a nonprofit for everything. And so there's an opportunity to do either a guided trip with volunteers where you walk through a trail or maybe just a work party where you help build a kiosk. And
cool. That'd be fun.
And even going to things like supporting theaters, which are nonprofits and helping, you know, kind of look at those. You know, is this a nonprofit thing? Is this not? You know, where can you help? You know,
we get you on stage on a theater. We have volunteer community theater, you know. You could come.
Oh, that'll be I'm in. I can sing, but I can't act.
They're casting for Grease right now. So
there you go.
There you go. That's cool. Well, you've got well, that's the other part.
Yeah.
All this history and okay. So we were talking about Top Gun before. Have got what's going on? And we do have to get to the app. I promise everyone.
We do need to get to the app. So quickly, I will just tell you that Top Gun 2, which is Maverick, is releasing this month. And they're showing it on all the naval air stations around the country early, and which is great. So in Oak Harbor at Sky Warrior Theater, they're going to be showing it and have a screening and have some fun. But it was partially filmed here, so we have a sense of pride and ownership in that because of our wonderful Naval Air Station and these, you know, these brave men and women who fly these jets. And so we're pretty excited about it. It's been, they say, what I've heard, just so you are aware, is see this film on the largest screen you can see it because there's so much care taken into making sure you have a really good experience and hear the sounds and feel in your heart. And so it might be something to see on a, they did film it in a way that you could see it on a gigantic screen.
Oh, cool.
Cool. But,
look for that in those, you know, big theaters.
I love this because we used to live near Oceanside, California, and that's where Top Gun was filmed with, you know, the little Top
Gun. That's where the big parties are right now. Yeah, that's where Tom is there. He flew in a special jet or a special helicopter, and Lady Gaga did some of the theme song. And all of these people have come in to give it a lot more love, and I think it's going to be a really special film. Lot to say.
He doesn't look like he's aged at all. Like I was seeing a trailer for it the other day, and I'm like, wow, okay, jumping off planes must be good for your skin.
He flew the helicopter himself in there. He loves to really be hands-on in this particular film. He wanted to make everyone proud, you know. He really felt that it was important.
And the locals got to be part of it too, right? In some of the filming part, the locals.
That's right. So we have a lot of film that comes here. We just had another feature filmed here. This just was released, called Midday Black, Midnight Blue. Just give a little pitch for that, so look for it. Mm-hmm. But when Top Gun was here, they filmed mostly at the Naval Air Station. I mean, they did a lot of things there in a sort of a closed environment, in a safe area, and there was a lot of privacy. And that's, I understand, because it would have been a kind of a mob.
Yeah, you'd never get anything done.
But you're going to recognize, I think, some of the Cascade Mountains and some of the beauty from around here.
Nice. Oh, wow. So that's what we were seeing with the Cascade Mountains, you know.
On one side, then you were seeing the Olympic Mountain Range.
On the other.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, because I kept getting...
We're surrounded.
I was a friend, she was on the phone, she's like, okay, stand here, Lisa, stand there. Like, I can't tell which mountains are which anymore. Right. Because...
To the east where the Cascade Mountain Range, and you would see Mount Baker and Mount Rainier with like the giant peaks that you might see. And then to the west is the Olympic Mountain Range. So we're in a rain shadow surrounded by mountains that despite the amount of rain we do have, you know, we still have less than the national average. So
Wow.
Yeah. Huh? We have 18 inches less than Seattle here because of that rain shadow.
Well, we've been in the Pacific Northwest since the end of February, and I think 3/4 of the time it's been raining. But when the sun is out, you see, we have a friend, a travel writer, you may know her, Debbie Stone. She's like, you see why that rain is so important? You're talking about all these flowers and plants and the rainforest. You're going, well, I don't know if they were a rainforest, but the forest. I mean, what is amazing, you know, this really reminds us, we don't kept saying this, that you're on this trail and you can see the ocean, but you're in a forest. Very much like South Africa's garden route. Mm-hmm. And so we felt very at home, except for there was no snowy capped mountains on this garden route, but the coast and just the biodiversity. Oh my gosh. And all the mushrooms, like seriously, you could go on a fungus tour for life.
Well, there is foraging groups that go out, and you can, they advertise for visitors to come in and take little foraging trips. So to find all the secret places, maybe they blindfold you when they take you out to find them.
I'd be an expert. I don't want to eat the wrong berry or the wrong mushroom. You never
know. I actually took a foraging class, and I would definitely recommend going with an expert if you can, just for the safety reasons and confidence. Yes. Yeah.
All the sudden you're learning from the top of a mountain. Then you can cook up these
little heads together.
And you learn so much more, you know, you really get to learn so much more, you know, with a guide.
It's so, so magical. I'm just going, my head is right back and walking the forest trail. And it's like, you'll see the sun come in and, you know, like that one, it was South Whidbey Island State Park, I think.
South Whidbey State Park, yeah.
Yeah.
That's for some old growth tree here.
Oh my gosh. And we were walking through, and then the sun would come through and hit this one spot of green. That was it. All the moss. Are you kidding me?
It's hallways, a surprise. Yeah.
Hallways of moss.
It looks like Savannah, Georgia or something.
Yeah. And because you have the Spanish moss in some areas, but this one moment, it just lit up the moss and everything. And it was like emerald green. And I'm like, dude, we're in the Wizard of Oz. Like, this is cool.
You're in Oz.
It's magical. It is magical. But tell us about the app, because you have internet, like good reception.
You might want to download before you arrive, so that you have all that available. But the state of Washington Tourism has rebranded and relaunched and is better funded. So they're finding ways to work collaboratively with all of us throughout the state. And one of them is the launch of something called TREAD, TREAD, in all caps, map app, and it will be live Memorial Day weekend. So the same time as our guide is coming out, which we do refer to the Tread Map app in our guide. What it does is trails are loaded in, and there's a lot of information that's in real time. It's user generated. So if there is a full parking lot or a tree down or a fire or smoke, this is one way that that information can travel very quickly. And even if there's, say there's a, you know, red tide or some problem where you shouldn't be climbing a certain beach, we're going to have that information as well with our land managers, because they can go in themselves and update the information. And it's going to be great. We're excited about it. And other states are already considering adopting it. So hopefully it'll be something that's nationwide ultimately, where there's a way also for like-minded businesses that share the values that support trails can advertise, and the profits can be given back to trails organizations. So it's like got this whole holistic piece to it that's synergistic. And I think it's going to be really nice for some of our nonprofits to be recognized. And that's what we did also in our trails guide. I should have mentioned, we partnered for the first time with the Sound Water Stewards and the Whidbey Camino Land Trust. And we gave them full pages in the guide just to explain who they are and what they do and how to get involved with those organizations if you're interested. So there's a lot more thinking about this for the long term, you know, the regenerative piece of it through the Tread Map. They're not going to just let someone advertise who just wants to advertise. You know, you have to actually have in your value, your core values have to align with the outdoors.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I love it. That's magic. And, you know, especially the volunteer there, you know, I think there's so many different ways to give back, but also be part of it. It should be kind of an interactive thing. And I think that's when the experience becomes something, you know, can't just be here, write a check.
We're thinking that tourism, you know, this is a force for good. Mm-hmm. Tourism is a force for good. Let's harness that and let's celebrate that. And if you still just want to come here and lay on a beach and not do anything, that's okay too, because you need that for your own mental health. Sometimes you don't need to be digging a trail. You know, maybe you need to just come here and just walk a beach, and that's okay. But there will be opportunities. And finally, I think they're just going to be better communicated, so that, you know, maybe you'll want to leave this place better than when you found it. And we're going to give you ways to do that. And that's what regenerative tourism is really all about. Mm-hmm. It's not just about doing no harm. It's about actually improving a place.
Improving things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, there's people with expertise, and, you know, it's kind of like when you go to a conference, you go do all the stuff you're supposed to do, and then you add that extra day so you can go and experience something, you know, it's kind of like, you kind of split up what you're doing. Yeah. And people want something like, I think we probably told you the last time we chatted that we ran a bed and breakfast for 3 nights because
3 months?
Our friends.
No, three nights.
No, hell no, not 3 months. Are you kidding me? Holy cow. No, not after that. But it gave us this insight of the visitors coming to the area. And this is Asheville, North Carolina. So very much, you know, the Smoky Mountains and, you know, all of that Blue Ridge Parkway. And it was for them, the guests, it is about the experience. Even if they were there for business, it was this, they wanted the time with the innkeepers, which we were at that time. So like if we served them a beer, because the place, the bed and breakfast makes their own beer. And so it's a very happy bed and breakfast. So, you know, we would sit and chat, and it was about, you could see this changeover, and also from a younger generation, all generations that came to this kind of lodging, they were interested in what was the community about. What were the trails? What are the hidden trails? What, you know, oh, I heard about, this is the waterfall. Like everybody knows about it. Or do you want to go to the one where you can park? Because it, you know, waterfall season, fall color season at the time when we were there is like, it was packed, but they wanted that extra community thing. And I think also the, like some of the breweries there were doing things that were community. One of them, Fat Tire Brewery. Mm-hmm. I think it was Fat Tire. Yeah. We've had them on the show years ago, and they did the Fat Tire race. It was like an event, and it really helps nonprofits. So here we were at the brewery, and I went to pay for a beer and went to give the guy a tip in the tip jar. And he goes, I want you to know before you tip that that doesn't go to us. This goes to nonprofits. You see, here's our list of nonprofits. So all tip money generated here goes to nonprofits. And I'm like, well, here's more. Because it felt like, let's have another beer. We're drinking for good.
Yeah, so right. I can do my part.
Yes. Is that there's these things that we can do that are simple. But right there, you started to look at the nonprofits that they were part of. And it was about the outdoors and, you know, cycling groups and things like that. So there was this way right there to give back in this tiny way as a visitor or locals, you know. So I think there's a lot of little things, but as travelers from our experience is, and just even us being on the road 100%, you want to go to the community side of things, community events, and maybe go and say, hey, I'll help and flip burgers at the festival or something, you know,
right?
Because you'll get
right.
to meet and the locals in a different way.
I think it's fun. It's good for destinations to communicate that and, you know, provide those opportunities. But, you know, I also know some visitors, it's just, I just need to get away from my life.
I understand that.
And I just need a quiet room and maybe with a pool. And we have that, you know, in Oak Harbor, there's such a wide variety of lodgings here that you can do a more traditional lodging and then still enter out into the community and now however you want. But it's not like, I don't think it should be like a requirement.
Oh, no.
That doesn't work.
Just a plus if you want to do it and there's an opportunity. Yeah.
And yeah. I think we'll probably have a community-wide pledge that you can take care of or not. You know, you're not welcome here. But some people really are ready for something different and ready to take things to a different level after COVID. They feel they want to give back more. And they want to behave better and just make places better than just extracting, you know, coming in and just extracting from a place. Mm-hmm.
I think because of people doing so much more remotely now that we'll see tourism be more steady throughout the week instead of everything being all in one weekend.
So too.
And I'm really hoping for that because
that's great.
And shoulder seasons and not forced, like here, everybody's on vacation from A to B. Yet then, you know, then when it comes to the businesses and the people, you know, earning the money on that side of it, when it's so dramatically seasonal or, oh, we only, you know, have tourists in at this time, it becomes a really rough time for everybody. Yeah. And it's not good on the land. You know, some places, you know, we've been to Yosemite in winter. It's magical. It is magical. And most people only want to go in the summer. And yet when you go out in the winter, and you see a coyote all bushed up and with his fur and running through the snow, it's like, whoa, that was like, I thought it was a wolf. It wasn't, but.
Yeah, it can really take away from your experience if you're in bumper to bumper traffic and you're in a beautiful rural place and yet you can't do anything but sit in a car.
Get angry. People get angry and then we have road rage and then like, you know, we don't need that. But I think, you know, this could balance out for the land, balance out for the trails. And that's one thing I do wanted to say about the area too. So many little park areas for trails that I found, like, because I'm excited. We have to come back now and play with the app because I was doing GPS. I'm like, okay, where's a park as we're driving? Like, what's next? What's next? And what we found were a bunch of trailheads, like next to people's houses. Like, here's a small parking lot and you can go walk down the beach. Or like there was one that was dedicated to someone who had passed away, but you could go walking along this area. And so it was smaller little areas, but it was accessible. And a lot of times coastal communities sell out and you can't get on that piece of land, you know what I mean? So I think that's another awesome thing that you have, that it's accessible for the locals and the visitors, and not just the fancy, you know,
we think
condo
it's important
people.
That we communicate where those private lines are so that you're not crossing over into someone's private
land. Right.
We have to do a good job at that with these guides and this app and with signage and things, just communicating so people don't wander off into the wrong place not knowing.
Sure.
You know,
get
you
shot.
You walk
get off my leg.
Get shot.
Well, you might get scolded. I don't think you'd be shot, but you might.
No, but you know, they get off by. No, but it's like there's homes because that's where people are living on there. But there, I mean, it was pretty cool that you could park and, you know, go walking here. And yet I think, though, having this app is going to make it a lot easier to find your way around. But I was surprised how much open trailhead there was, and for people, because normally when you get any kind of coastal, it's like you're, it's closed off, and sorry, you get this little square as a local or a visitor, and then this is all taken away. So I think you guys have nice balance,
really nice balance. And you know, low tide is the key to some of these beaches. It's so much more space when you're on low tide, because there's just lots of places to disperse. And we have an off-leash dog beach called Double Bluff at a great big low tide. There's lots of space to spread out, and you know, it's not quite so feeling so crowded.
Right. And dogs love the driftwood. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's just like having fire hydrants for them. But there's a lot of it. I mean, the driftwood to me was just like, wow.
It's fun. They can pick it up and run out in the water with it.
Yeah. No, and just about all the dogs have it in their mouths. They do. This is my
thing. It's an easy catch stick, you know, for throwing out into the water.
It's cool. We cherish our that day was just that magic day. And we're like, oh no, it's over.
Well, we'll show you Kameno next time. I think you'll find it really special too. And less populated. There's no actual town. So there's no box stores of any kind. And it's very, very family owned and operated kind of businesses. And there's two giant state parks that have cabins. And that's nice. Unusual to have so many state parks with cabins. So Deception Pass just built recently some cabins.
Awesome.
Cool. Take that glamping, you know. You just have to bring in your own bedding and dishes and things, but you have a nice, cool little old fishing resort cabin from the 1930s that you get to stay in. There's about 33 of them at Kama Beach. It's pretty popular in the summer, but it's a winter place too. Mm. You're right on the water, so you get the storms and you get that. Makes you want to ride along.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You've got that four seasons of completely different, you know, feelings, and there is drama out there. There is drama. We like that.
That's why there's so many artists here. I think we have 2 weekends of studio tours just kicking off right now. And again, you know, it's just, there's so many artists. It's unbelievable. And every kind. From, you know, performing to,
well, I think everyone should go to your sites at whidbeykameno.com. Am I saying Kameno correctly?
That's correct. Time? Yeah.
I'm getting it. It's the first time I think I've got it, because I've always wanted to say Kamano. So it's whidbeykameno.com. And also the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association is ifwtwa.org. And if you are in the travel tourism world, a hospitality world, they are hosting their next annual conference in November. No, not in November. You know what? Go to ifwtwa.org. I can't remember the date off the top of my head. But their conference is in St. Petersburg, Florida. And you're going to want to go check that out. And actually, that's how we first found out about Whidbey and Kameno Islands was, the conference is September 18th through 21st. So so it's coming up real soon. But that's how we found out about Whidbey, was with the conference, the IFTWA conference. What was it? How many years ago was that? 3, 4, 5 years ago?
It's a while ago.
2017 or 2018 when you were here.
It's all a blur. Yeah. It's all a blur. But
So really it's a great organization and some of the best writers, because they have a code of conduct when they come to a place. They really do behave differently than other writers, I will tell you.
They do what they say. Yep, they do. They do a lot for social. That's why I love following IFTWA hashtag IFWTWA on Twitter and on social media, because you just see places from around the world and you're like, wow, this is so cool. I mean, talk about armchair travel. And then you're like, it's time to get out of the armchair. It's time to go. Get out there. So it's very, very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you. And we're really opening up now. You know, Canadians are coming down and it's going to be a busy summer. So look forward to staying in touch with you.
Awesome. Well, have a wonderful summer and fall, and we'll chat again soon. And everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.